Morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. There's an old expression, necessity is the mother of invention. It means that when there's a real need, the creative spirit of human beings diligently looks to find an answer. Need is quite a motivator. On the other hand, without need, often complacency. In the Christian way of life, the Lord first teaches us about our need. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22a, in union with Adam, all creatures die spiritually. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. Because we are spiritually dead, because we have a sin nature, because we are helpless, because we are hopeless, because we all have broken the law, we need a Savior. We can't manufacture righteousness on our own. But our Savior comes through for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as through Adam, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, makes us complete. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the fullness of deity, which we call the Lord, dwells in bodily form, which we call Jesus Christ, his true humanity. And in union with him, you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule, over all authority. So whatever you're experiencing in your life right now, whatever circumstances you're in, know that you are still complete in the Lord as a believer in Christ. And he has you just where he wants you right now. All is right in your world. And we have to learn to accept that all is right in our world. Even when we're going through the turbulence of hard times, all is right in our world. Welcome to your place of renewing through the study of the Word of God. Let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song is Your Word Takes Me.
Lord, you tell me you love me. Your words are love song to my soul. You tell me I'm yours. You'll never leave me. And I will never let you go. You whisper to me in a voice that gives me hope. I'm the one that you adore. I will follow wherever you lead me. Take my hand, oh Lord, I'm yours. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your word calms my soul like nothing ever can. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your tender touch soothes me so much. You stimulate my soul. Your word makes me whole. Your word takes me. Your word makes me. Your word takes me. Where only you and I can go. Lord, my love for you grows deeper as your word renews my mind. Your love is strong. It has no equal. Lord, you are so gentle and kind. You're in me, and I'm in you. No one can ever take your love from me. Your seal is on my heart. I belong to you only. Lord, you have placed no one above. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your word calms my soul like nothing ever can. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your tender touch soothes me so much. You stimulate my soul. Your word makes me whole. Your word takes me. Your word makes me. Your word takes me where only you and I can go. You know the depths of my heart, the places that I've been. Your word heals me deep within. You know all of me. From you I cannot hide. Your word makes me come alive. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your tender touch soothes me so much. You stimulate my soul. Your word makes me whole. Your word takes me. Your word makes me. Your word takes me where only you and I can go. Where only you and I can go. Lord, I love you so. Your word takes me where only you and I can go.
Thanks, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for making us complete. Thank you for your Word, which reminds us to relax and to appropriate all of the things which you already provided for us in eternity past. Help us to remember that our salvation is an accomplished fact, that our resurrection life is an accomplished fact, that you are providing the all things for us, that we simply need to use the faith that you have given us to enjoy the ways you are conforming us to the image of your resurrected Son. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 3, Reflections on the Consequences of Sin passage. Reflections on the Consequences of Sin's passage. None of us likes to have our noses rubbed in the dirt. Yet this is the first step in a magnificent unfolding process in God's plan. For many of us, it takes a lot of rubbing to get us to see the truth of our condition. But we'll learn more about this in our study today. First, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is July 13th, 2014. We had a visit to the vets last week, and one of the things, we had two very interesting things happen. The number one thing is they miss us when we're not there. So one of the guys said, you weren't here last time. I said, yeah, I kind of screwed up. I scheduled a deacon's meeting and we scheduled it right over this. We weren't able to make it. He said, yeah, I saw that you weren't here. Yeah, no, I kind of goofed up the scheduling. He said, yeah, well, don't do that again because we kind of like it when you come here. We miss you when you're not here. He's like, all right. Yes, sir. So they love us. And the other thing is, as soon as we walked in, a guy walks up to me. He says, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Yeah. He said, it says there in that passage that homosexuals will not get to heaven. And I said, no, that's not exactly what that says, sir. He says, well, we've got about 7 people upstairs ready to talk to you about it. So get on up there and get at the table and we're going to have this out. Wow. It's like, I got up at 2 o'clock this morning and I didn't have a nap or anything to eat. And I don't want, mommy, I got caca. So I went up and it took me roughly 10 minutes to settle that issue. It was easy. But the point is, the whole thing was really fun. And I'm convinced that we really don't get a spiritual life until we start giving to our community. You know, we're never going to get a spiritual life sitting here accumulating knowledge. But when all of a sudden, when you take your knowledge out into the world and see how much people value it, and especially people in need who are bored out of their minds sitting there all day, and then we come in with a little ice cream and a little fun and a little conversation, it's really an absolutely thrilling thing to experience and fun. And it's always fun, of course, to hear June forget the words to her own songs. So very fun thing to do. We'll have a prayer meeting immediately following today's service. It'll be about 15 minutes, and we'll start 5 minutes after the service concludes. And don't forget, the Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference is coming up on August 8th and 9th. John and Monica Miller coordinating at the Red Lion Templins Hotel, 414 East 1st Avenue, Post Falls, Idaho. The phone is 208-755-8829. Let me tell you something that I absolutely know for sure is not going to be your experience when you're in hospice care. You know, when you're in hospice care, that means that you should probably cancel Christmas, right? And so you're not going to be very much longer on this earth. I guarantee that when you're in hospice care, you're not going to be laying there saying, God, I'm glad I didn't go to the Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference. You'd much more likely be saying, why didn't I go to the Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference? And what am I saying? I'm saying that there's so many opportunities like this that we don't take advantage of, and we had all our little excuses. It's the money, and it's the time, the schedule, and mommy, you know, and as opposed to, why don't you just try it? Why don't you just experience it and see what wonderful things happen? And who knows, you might be able to turn this into a lifestyle where you start thinking that adventures are a regular part of your life. And that you start having adventures, because I guarantee you, it's a beautiful place. Coeur d'Alene is a beautiful place, and it doesn't get any better than being with John and Monica Miller. They are great people, and they love talking about God and His Word, and it's just fun. And they have a lot of really cool friends who come to that conference, so it'd be really fun to do.
Great. The correct phone number is on the website.
This is not the correct phone number? Gotcha. So the correct phone number is on the website. This is John Miller's phone number, isn't it?
I don't know. I couldn't get anything
but an answering machine. Oh, is that right? All right. Don't pay any attention to that phone. Thanks, Larry. Do not pay attention to that phone number. So we'll get that straightened out. But the correct phone number on the website. And so please check that out. All right. And get your rooms immediately, by the way, if you're going to that. Because they have a room guarantee and they need to settle that matter pretty quickly. All right, let's take the offering. Let's remember to give with the motivations suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians 9:7, which says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. And even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. And we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others around the world. And recently we've had some employee staffing changes, and it's kind of made me think about the Word of God and how it applies to my life and how my life has shaped my thoughts about this thing. And, you know, I'm the son of a Marine who was the son of a Marine. You can kind of tell by my haircut, something I've always had. And, you know, as a Marine, you volunteer for service, and they pour resources into you, and they expect you to hold fast to your duty. And if you go AWOL or desert your post, you can be court-martialed, even to the point of death, death penalty. And, you know, it makes me think that how does this apply to the situation? It's very similar, I think, in that, you know, when you desert a post, you've been relied upon, and it's not just without consequences when you leave your post, in the same way that if you leave your post as a Marine, there are consequences. And I thought about it as Adam and Eve. I've talked about Adam and Eve before. They sinned, fell short of God's promises, and they were forgiven by God, but there was consequences. The women had childbirth, and the men have to toil in the fields. So in the same way, Proverbs chapter 3, 11 and 12 tells us, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects his son in whom he delights." So you see, it's not wrong to discipline somebody that falls short of the promises of God, or somebody that deserts a post. It's actually biblical. It's what we should do. You know, the Marine that leaves his post is forgiven by his men, but he's not trusted by his men anymore. And there is a need for discipline so that it doesn't happen over and over again, and so that people learn their lesson, and so that in the next case, when they have the next chance to volunteer and they fall short, they don't do it. You know, we learn a lot by discipline. We learn how to treat the next opportunity. And I think this applies to us as a congregation because, you know, when we have the chance to give and we don't, we're deserting a post. We're losing the opportunity to give with our money, our time, our treasure, and our talent. And, you know, people are missing out on that because the finances aren't there for us to do conferences. The finances aren't there for us to have books. And, you know, this is something that we each have a responsibility to do with our time, talent, and treasure. And, you know, the resident congregation and the non-resident congregation give so much. And the non-res is always by our side with financial contributions. So if you're out there hearing this, non-res, we might need some more help. You know, we might need some more of you people to move here and help us out with our staffing issues. So no pressure at all. But so thank you all for your giving and your constant support, and really appreciate it, Pastor. So thank you.
Today's study, Romans chapter 3, Reflections on the Consequences of Sin passage. So a few principles for consideration as believers in Christ. First, we are doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. We are 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week slaves in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing, we are set apart by the gospel of God, and we're set apart for the benefit of the gospel of God. These are all things that we learned in Romans chapter 1 in the very beginning, in the introduction. Another thing we learned is that we're no better than Paul, who is the worst believer of all time. And so God does not pick the trained or the polished or the wonderful to be in his service as shepherds. If we choose to be, we are the victims of God's grace. We can exit that prison of works and the law and move into the palace of God's grace. God wants us to proclaim our faith throughout the whole world, and so every opportunity we get, we should be telling people about Christ and about the fact that as sinners, we need a Savior, and that Savior is Christ. Each of us has a spiritual gift that needs to be used in service to others within Barah Ministries and in service to others in our community. And you should not wait for somebody to tell you what your spiritual gift is. You should work your way into success. Work your way and find out what the things are that you love doing, that the Lord instilled in you. We are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we have the opportunity, we're not afraid to mention our Lord's name, and we're not afraid to tell people what it takes to get to heaven, and we're not going to leave any part out. We're not going to leave the lake of fire part out. We're not going to leave the sinner part out. We're going to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The admission ticket to heaven is righteousness, and that's what you get when you become a believer in Christ. You get absolute righteousness credited to your account as a free gift. And therefore, you don't have to work for it, because if salvation is by grace, then it is not by works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. The alternative to righteousness is wrath, and God is storing up his wrath for those who reject his righteousness. Without exception, everyone on the earth knows the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, because God makes it evident within them and from without of them. So there is a part of us all inside that has an empty space that yearns for God. And we might fill that empty space with sex and drugs and alcohol and every other form of sublimation. But those things will never be good enough to fill that space, because the only thing that can fill that space is God. And he puts that within us. And then he surrounds us by nature and shows himself in nature as well. But the unbeliever rejects the truth. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. The unbeliever rejects the truth. Here's what it says. Even though they, those who practice unrighteousness, ungodliness, the sinners, knew God. They knew God, so they had the knowledge. Knowledge is not enough. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him for creating them, but they became futile in their speculations. Yeah, but what about? Yeah, but what about? Yeah, but what about? And their foolish heart was darkened. And that's what happens when you keep speculating rather than enjoying the grace that is provided for you by God. Romans 1:22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. We have an English word that indicates that sentiment. Sophomore. Sapha, sophos, wisdom. Moros, moron, fool. Professing to be wise, professing to be sophos, they became moros. That's what a second-year student in high school is, a sophos moros, a wise fool. Romans 1:23, and exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, in the form of birds, in the form of four-footed animals, in the form of crawling creatures. We begin to worship idols. all of us worship idols. What are your idols? There's one real close to here. It's called Dutch Brothers. You know, some people can't come to church if they don't have Dutch Brothers, you know. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, well, Boston Donuts, one of your idols. Yeah, whatever. All right, I get it. So what was God's response? What was God's response to the fact that unbelievers know him but reject him, speculate about him, and worship idols? God's response was God gave them over. God let them learn on their own. Uh-oh, that's not going to be good. And then sins, abundant sins. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Well, you're there already, so you don't have to turn to it. But here's what I want you to do. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Now, as you're there, what I want you to do is this. As we reflect on this passage, Romans 1:24 to Romans 1:32, I want you to think for a second about how many of these sins that you have committed in your lifetime. How many of these sins that we're about to read have you committed in your lifetime? Whether by thinking it, saying it, or doing it. Romans chapter 1, verses 24 to 32. Here's what it says. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity. There's one of the sins, impurity. So that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Idolatry, worshiping the creature instead of the Creator. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, homosexuality among women. And in the same way also, men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, homosexuality among men. Men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Indecent acts. What are the indecent acts that you have engaged in your lifetime? Have you ever engaged in homosexuality as a man to man? And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. How many times have you thought depraved thoughts? To do those things which are not proper. How many times have you done those things which are not proper? Being filled with all unrighteousness. How many times have you done unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, wanting something that somebody else has but not wanting to do the work, murder, physical murder, soul murder, and not in the military application of it. Because when there is killing in the military, it is not murder, it is sanctioned. Strife, deceit, malice, gossips. How many of those have you engaged in? Strife. That's one that happens a lot in couples at home. Deceit, lying, malice, malicious activity in conduct and thoughts. Gossips, slanderers. That is the making public statements about people that are false. Haters of God. Insolent. Arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice these sins. All right, so there they are as a list of sins. You can go right through the list, and I'll bet you can check off a bunch of them. I certainly can. I'm not ashamed to say it. How many of God's laws have you broken? Well, in many ways, our study of the first three chapters of Romans have been depressing because if we live in the delusion of self-sufficiency, and if we have a strong denial mechanism, we'll pretend like those things never existed. But we have been asked in Romans 1 through Romans 3 to look at ourselves. We've been asked to stand before a mirror and look at who we really are. We comfort ourselves by knowing that the Lord, while talking to believers in these three chapters, is talking about unbelievers. We say, well, that's not about us anymore because we have a new position in Christ. But it is very much about us. It's about us because we were there at one time. And we can still engage in some of the goofy things. Our comfort is short-lived when we realize that as believers in Christ, we still have a sin nature. We can still engage in the deeds of the flesh. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. See, believers in Christ are offered an option. All those things that you just read, that sins list, that's all that unbelievers can do. That's their whole life. But as believers, we have options. So as you look at this sins list, how many of these sins have you committed? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. How many of these sins have you committed by whether thinking it, saying it, or doing it? Here's what it says, Galatians chapter 5, 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. This is what we do as believers, the deeds of the flesh, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. How many of those three have you done? Galatians 5, 20, idolatry. Sorcery, going to mediums, getting your cards read. Oh, it's harmless. Enmities, bitter warfare between you and another person. Strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions. How many of those have you been involved in? How many of those have you created? Galatians 5:21. Envying, wanting something that somebody else has, drunkenness, carousing. That was one of my mom's favorite words. By the way, her 96th birthday would have been yesterday. Carousing. I'm not going to send you out there so you can go out carousing. She's like, thanks. I don't even know what that is. I just want to get together with some friends, Mom. And things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things, unbelievers, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's where people get screwed up, because they think that the sins list, when it connects to those who practice such things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. The thought is that we're talking about believers there. We are not. We're talking about unbelievers in that particular part. But those are the things we're doing when we're indulging in the deeds of the flesh, when we're indulging in the deeds of the sin nature. Why didn't God just take the sin nature away at the moment of salvation so we wouldn't do any of that stuff anymore? Well, it puts us in check. You know, we should be grateful for the gift that we have on the other side and be moving away from those things as we allow God to conform us to the image of His Son. But Galatians 5:22, we have options. The fruit of God, the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace towards self, unconditional love, joy and peace. Peace is the recognition that God has nothing against you. Patience, kindness, goodness toward others. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control toward God. Against the such things there is no law. So we have a choice as believers in Christ. We can do the deeds of the flesh, or we can do the fruit of the Spirit. And I highly recommend the fruit of the Spirit. It makes a difference when you're doing the fruit of the Spirit, when you're walking in the deeds that God has set aside for you. All right, take a 5-minute break, and when you get back, we'll talk a little more about these things. 5-minute break. Thank you. Chapter 6, verse 8. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Welcome back. We as believers in Christ can do the deeds of the flesh because we have a sin nature. We as believers in Christ can commit unrighteous deeds, yet we are not unrighteous. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 8. Here's what it says. It says, now, if we believers in Christ have died with Christ, and we have, we were crucified with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, mainly because he says we will. Romans 6, 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead in resurrection, is never to die again. So death is no longer a master over him or for us believers in Christ who are in union with him. Death is not a master over us. Romans 6:10. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God the Father. Even so, consider yourselves, believers in Christ, to be dead to sin, dead to the power of the sin nature, but alive to God the Father and in union with Christ. Consider yourself to be out of the prison and into grace. Consider yourself to be out of the law and into grace. Romans 6:12. Therefore, don't let the sin nature reign in sovereignty in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. A command to stop it. Don't do this. Romans 6:13. And don't go on presenting the members of your body to the sin nature as instruments of unrighteousness. All unrighteousness occurs in the sin nature. And there's no righteousness in it. No, not even one thing. But present yourselves to God as if you are those alive from the dead. Why? Because you are. And your members, present your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Present your body as an instrument of righteousness to God. Romans 6:14, for the sin nature shall not be master over you. Because you are not under the Mosaic law, you are not in the law, you are not in the works, but you are under grace. They are mutually exclusive systems. They don't have anything to do with each other. Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Absolutely not. No way, not never. Not no how. Well, the consequences of sin passage is depressing because we're guilty as charged. See, you are an adulterous woman. That's what the consequences of sin passage has said to you. You're an adulterous woman. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You are an adulterous woman. That's the essence of what the consequences of sin passage said to you. We'll see what that means in a moment. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. John chapter 8, verse 1, here's what it says. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him. And he sat down and began to teach them. John chapter 8, verse 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. And having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. And we know that there she is alone. And isn't that always the way? The person who's caught in the very act is brought there alone, but it's an act for two, yet one person is absent. John chapter 8, verse 5. Now in the Mosaic law, Moses commands us to stone such women. What then do you say? When you really reflect on how stupid that question is, to the person who wrote the Mosaic Law. He wrote the Mosaic Law. Moses didn't write it. John 8, 6. And they were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. And when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. John 8:9. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. Why beginning with the older ones? Because older people are smart. Youth is wasted on the young, says George Bernard Shaw. So when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the center of the court. John 8:10, straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" John 8:11, she said, "No one, Lord," but she's a believer in Christ. Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." Can you imagine the feeling of being guilty? Can you imagine the feeling of being caught in the act with no way to plead yourself out of the situation? If you've been paying attention to the consequences of sin passage, you can imagine that, because you are guilty, caught in the act, with no way to plead yourself out of the situation. Lately, I have found myself around people who are guilty and they know it. And it has been a very pleasurable experience. Equally, I have found myself around people who are guilty and they don't think they are. And I am asked by my God to love them equally. Well, the last group is not so pleasant to be around. And so often I don't love them equally. Well, so it is with each of our lives. We're surrounded by those who count on works. We're surrounded by those who count on grace. And so it will be for the rest of our lives. We must learn to have no preference. We must learn to have no preference, whether we're around people who are engaging in works or whether we are around people who are engaging in grace. We must have no preference because God has no preference in the way he treats them unconditionally. Romans chapter 3, verse 28 says, "We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the Mosaic law." Faith and grace do not belong entangled in the Mosaic law. Well, the Lord created a religion to teach us the lifestyle offers of Satan, the enemy of God, would never work. Not the lascivious lifestyle, not the religious lifestyle, not the legalistic lifestyle, not the self-righteous lifestyle. They will never work. And then the Lord gave us a lifestyle free of charge that is beyond our wildest dreams. A lifestyle of freedom. A lifestyle of grace. And as we continue in this passage, we'll learn about it. And we'll continue to see all of the implications of it as we continue through Romans. The promises of Jesus Christ. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Make it a habit to pray. In everything, give thanks. For this is God the Father's will for you who are in union with Christ Jesus. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation, the deliverance of the Lord, which he'll accomplish for you today. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Our closing song, Faith, Hope, and Love.
By God the Holy Spirit, he's worthy of our trust. We are to walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. Our hope is in our God. He is our delight. We're not a love differently, not by feeling. sure what we hear or taste or touch or see. No need for rationalization. Show me's not our way. We're in union with Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Absolutely trusting hope. I'm assured that he placed his life in me. I'm free to be loved. Have this attitude, no matter what others do to you, to love them just like he loves unconditionally. We abide these three: faith, hope, and love. Confidence in my God gives me serenity. I'll trust the Lord with all my heart, not to please me. I will to live the Zoe life. I won't live in fear, not living on the sidelines. The open doors are clear. I'll depend on him, cling to him, absolutely trusting hope. I'm assured that he placed his life in me. I'm free to be loved. Have this attitude, no matter what others do to you, to love them just like he loves unconditionally. We abide these three: faith, hope, and love. Faith in our God, hope in ourselves, virtue, love for others. We're royal priests with a royal life, a species like no other. Faith, I'll depend on him, cling to him, absolutely trusting hope. I'm assured that he placed his life in me. I'm free to be loved. Have this attitude, no matter what others do to you, to love them just like he loves. Faith, hope, and love.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, that we can trust you. We're grateful that you keep your word. And we're grateful that you consider us to be worthy of all the blessings that you've put in our lives, including the blessings of adversity and prosperity. And we pray that you continue to open us up to the truth, and you continue to open us up to the possibilities that exist here in Barah Ministries for us to serve each other and to serve the community that we're in. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are a reflection of your unconditional love, your magnificent person, your perfect thinking, your impeccable work, and your indescribable essence. We pray that you help us to understand that we don't have to be perfect to do your work. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.